Today we're going to be talking about faith and the importance of trust in the heart of a person and confidence before God. And that will lay the foundation for our next session, where I'm going to be talking about the restoration of this faith and what God had to go through and what He had to establish in Jesus in order to have our belief restored. Now, some of you might have listened to previous messages that I preached. Those of you that are part of our Dynamic Love Web Church or that follows Dynamic Love Ministries, you would have heard some of what I'm about to say, but I just feel it's important to have this as part of our discipleship program so that those of us that come in for the first time can have their hearts established in this truth. Now, the first passage I want to read is from Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And we're going to just talk about what this faith is and what role it plays. Romans 10 verse 10 reads as follows. It says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then the definition for heart there is the core intellect or the logic. So the Bible says, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness." So it's very important. How do we get unto righteousness? How do we experience the righteous action of God towards man? It's through our belief, through our hearts. With the heart you believe. In other words, what the heart is full of is what you believe. That's very important to understand. If we go and look at, I'm not having that passage here, but if you look at just Genesis 6, where God talks about the evil, or the writer of Genesis talks about the evil that was upon the earth before the flood, it says that the hearts of man was evil continuously. And that word heart there also talks about the core or the intellect or the understanding of man was continually evil, nonstop, day and night. It never ended. And what it basically says is there was no place for God in the heart of humanity at that time, for their thoughts and their hearts and their understanding and their logic made only place for the law, no place for grace. But Noah, the Bible talks about Noah, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That word grace can be traced to a root word, which means to pitch a tent or to live with or to abode with or to tabernacle with. So what it basically says is that Noah saw that God wanted to live with man. That's how I interpret that. You know, these other people, they didn't have a belief that can see God united and God with man. They only had a belief that they are God. They are the being in their own heart. They become self-existing ones. And you that have followed this whole discipleship program will understand what I'm talking about. They standing in the place of, I'm a self-existing one. But here Noah comes and he says, God wants to live with me. In other words, God wants to be with me. I'm finding in the eyes of God, if I'm looking in the eyes of God, I'm seeing one who wants to abode with man, who wants to make his abode, who wants to dwell with, who wants to live with man. And he found that grace. He found that in the eyes of God. And Noah's heart, Noah's persuasion, Noah's logic was God with us. God comes and live with us. But the other people's logic was hard work and labor. So, your logic that you follow is your belief. Your logic is your belief. Now, the word believe also means to trust. And the word trust in Webster's means to have your mind at rest in the integrity of another. In other words, in the integrity, veracity, or sound principle of another person. So, when you really trust somebody, when your heart believes is when the logic that you follow can cause you to enter a rest on account of the logic that spells the integrity of another person. Now, let me say that again because that's very, very important. When you believe is when your heart follows a certain logic that causes rest of the mind. Is when your mind rests on account of the core intellect or the basic principle that you follow. So if your core intellect is that you have to, by laws and rules and regulations, have life, then your mind will never rest in God. Your mind will continually have imaginations and thoughts of works and whatsoever is surrounding that. So when your core logic cannot produce rest on account of it portraying the integrity of another person, then you will find that death is your portion. Let me explain it in another way. If we know things about God that spells, if the core from where we reason and think is all about the integrity of God, and the logic we follow is that of the integrity of God, and we've got enough evidence that God is a God of integrity, we will find from that integrity rest comes. But if someone can tamper with the integrity and the logic we have about the integrity of God, then immediately we will not rest anymore. That's what the Bible says. With the heart we believe, with the heart we trust, with the core logic, trust is formed. Or we can say in the negative, through a wrong core logic, or through our core logic, unbelief or fear is also formed. Now, when we read Genesis 2 verse 25, and let us just read that quickly. Adam and Eve were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25 reads as follows. It says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." And the word ashamed there means it's a primitive root properly to be pale. That is, by implication, to be ashamed, also by implication, to be disappointed or delayed. Okay. Now, here was Adam and Eve, and they were naked, but they were not ashamed. In other words, there was a certain logic that was being shaped and formed in their hearts that caused them not to be ashamed of their nakedness. They didn't become pale, you know, because of their nakedness. They didn't become ashamed. They didn't catch a fright, you know, when they saw their nakedness. They weren't disappointed, neither were they delayed. In other words, it wasn't as if there was an expectation and then that expectation didn't come forth. So Adam and Eve, very important, here they are, they stand in front of God, they can hear the voice of God, and they are not ashamed. Neither are they ashamed of each other. They can see one another for who they truly are. Plus, you know, that word naked there, I also believe, talks about the inability of man to have eternal life by his works. And I think it also talks about not having it, where they did not possess eternal life by their works. And they were not ashamed of that because they were walking in a relationship with God. Okay, with that said, let us go to Genesis 3 verse 2. And we read there, it says, "The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God does know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil." Okay, so what happens here? Satan comes, and what he actually does is he is tampering with the integrity of God. I hope you can see where I'm going with this. He's tampering with the integrity of God, and he's saying things about God that diminishes his integrity. And what he was saying is God is a self-existing one, and he has given you life, and the kind of a life that you have now is a life that doesn't need this God. You are an eternal, immortal being. You don't need this. And even if you come to the knowledge of good and evil, even if you come to eat of that, you come to the experiential knowledge of good and evil, you will make a choice for the good, and you will live, and you will not die, for you are an eternal, immortal being. And the only thing that God has got an issue about is He doesn't want another God here. He wants everything for Himself. And the moment there was tampered with the integrity, we find that Eve started to be tempted. You know why? Because there is not integrity anymore, because lies are believed. And we need to understand that when we read the book of Genesis, I don't believe that this was just a one-time event where Satan came and just quoted those few words quickly and Eve was easily deceived. I don't think that's how it took place. I think it was over a period of time where it would come continually. That is just my view about this. And we can see also how Jesus was tempted in the desert. Satan didn't just come once with something. He came continually. And what he was actually saying to Jesus all the time in the desert was just one message. And he said to Jesus, listen, man, if you're the Son of God, in other words, listen, you've got immortality inside you. You are the Son of God, because that's what Son of God means. You are an immortal being by yourself. Why don't you just live your immortality by your own ability? And what Jesus was actually saying there is, I am not immortal by myself. I will live from the words that come from the mouth of God. Let me say that again, because this is very, very powerful. Jesus, when he was in the desert and he was tempted, the Bible says he became hungry. Now that hunger that you have there is you need an affirmation of who you are. That's what it was talking about. He was in need of something. And living out there, he didn't have food, he didn't have water, plus what he didn't have, he didn't have any friends there, and he was alone. Plus he had a word from God that says, you are my son. Now, the moment God says, you are my son, it means that he gives you life. That's what sonship means. If Elian and I, we have a son, it means we came together, and from our union, a son, someone with life, is produced and comes forth on account of our life or our union. So God comes, he says to Jesus at the baptism, you are my son. Then Jesus went into the desert and saw no signs of sonship. And when he saw no signs of sonship, he became hungry. He wanted food. He needed to feed on something. He wanted food. And when he wanted food, what did the devil do? The devil came and tried to tamper with his integrity. You know, you are hungry here. Whereas you don't have any food, but you can eat now. There's some trees that you can eat from. If you're a son of God, you've got the ability to do supernatural things. And since you are now a son of God, it means you've got eternal life. So you can prove your sonship. If you are the son of God, if you are immortal, in other words, what he was saying is, since you cannot die, provide for yourself. So what he was actually saying to Jesus, he was trying to get Jesus to believe that he cannot die. That is what he was trying to get Jesus to believe. He was trying to get Jesus to say, listen, man, you are the immortal. If you are the immortal, show your immortality. He was trying to deceive Jesus into believing that he is immortal just in himself, and by that he can provide life for himself. And Jesus saw the deception and he said, I shall not live by this bread alone. In other words, what he was saying is, I don't have eternal life in myself. Therefore, if I just eat of this bread, I will die. But my immortality and my life is from the words that comes from the mouth of the Father. So what the devil wants to do is, he wants to always tamper with the integrity of God. God said, you are my son, but no, you know, what God said is not that accurate. Things can change. Things are a little bit different. So he comes and get back to Adam and Eve. He comes to Adam and Eve and he says to Eve, listen, did God say, like with Jesus, did God not say you shall live, did God not say you shall jump down from this temple, not bash your foot, and angels will carry you? Did God not say? And then Jesus came and, like with Eve, he said, this is what God said, you know, and she quoted a verse again, if you want to bring it into the life of Jesus. And then as Satan spoke to her, he came and he contradicted the integrity of God. And what he was saying is, God's lying to you. The motive of his heart is not right. And the moment her logic started to change, the moment she started to doubt who God is, why did she doubt who God is? Because she was entertaining another logic about God. And then the tree started to look desirable. And as it started to look desirable, as her heart is being persuaded of a lie, then she thought, let me eat of this, let me partake of this. And she started to partake of being in a place where you want to show, where you want to be immortal or manifest immortality by your works. And she's come to the realization, and Adam with her, that they are not immortal by their works. And they were disappointed. They were disappointed. That's why the Bible says they were ashamed. So the word for, I don't think I've got it on the, I do have it here. Let's go to the next slide and we're going to look at the word as well of little faith. But before we get to little faith, let's just talk about Adam's confidence here quickly. But little faith actually means to have no confidence. So what happened to Adam and Eve is they lost their confidence. They were now ashamed. And they started to live in the shame. And let's read that from Genesis 3, verse 4. Adam lost his confidence. It says, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, or you'll be Elohim, you'll be a god on your own, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew, experiential knowledge, that they were naked, and they sew fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And then on the next slide is the definition for little faith there. Little faith, it talks about, it's a composed of two words. The one is faith and the other one is small or little. It means incredulous. I hope I pronounced that correctly. That is lacking confidence in Christ or lacking confidence in God, little faith. Right. So what happened to Adam and Eve? They believed the lie. When they believed the lie, when their logic started to be shaped, well, the first thing was, God is lying to you, you cannot die. God is lying to you, you cannot die. You have eternal life in yourself. And then when they start to entertain that thought, they came to the place where they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, meaning they started to find their identity in themselves and not in Christ, saying, I am immortal on my own. I have eternal life on my own, and I'm going to live this eternal life by myself. I believe in my own willpower. I believe in my own abilities and all these kind of things. That's what happened. So Satan came, tampered with the integrity of God, and as he tampered with the integrity of God, he did it in this way. He told lies about God and that God's a God of integrity, and he also pointed to man's ability. and said to them that they cannot die. They already have eternal life. They have eternal existence inside themselves, and they don't need to depend on God. And as they start to entertain this thought and believe this, they thought that from that new persuasion, they will then see this eternal life manifest in them. And then all of a sudden, they started to see death in them. And things didn't work out for them. And what they expected didn't happen. And then when God came with eternal life, and they stand now and facing the Word of God, which is the message of life, where God provides life from His being, they were now actually ashamed because, number one, they doubted God and His integrity, and they saw that they saw the fruit of what they now had. And when they saw their, number two, when they saw their nakedness, then they were ashamed. And the ashamed there, the way I see it, was they're disappointed. So they were walking disappointed in the presence of God, and they were hiding themselves from God because they saw their disappointment. The way I see that ashamed is like going to a meeting or to a friend's house, and you've got an old car, and you are so happy to go and see your friend, and when you arrive at his house, you see he's got a Lamborghini and a Porsche and a Escalade and a whatever parked in his driveway, and that's his cars, and he's got a boat and a yacht and everything. And now if your identity is in what you have, all of a sudden you will feel ashamed. You will feel disappointed with what you have. And I think that is what happened there. And we need to realize that Adam and Eve, their minds were now corrupted through this wrong belief. They believed that God was a liar. They believed that they had eternal life intrinsically. They believe that they were that they could by their works bring life, and then now they stood disappointed in front of this God. Now imagine you believe the lie about God, and now you see that you are dying, and your subconscious was tampered with. What will happen when you face God? You'll be afraid because you will not know what He's going to do to you. You will not have confidence anymore. You don't have confidence in God. And that's what took place there. And man's confidence faded. So, two things happened. He was dying and he didn't have any confidence in God. And the salvation plan, which we'll talk about in the next session, will all revolve around how God had to produce confidence in the hearts of people and give them eternal life. Now, I want to end off by explaining this faith just in a practical matter, in a relational matter. The moment you believe in something, the thing you believe in, or the thing you trust in, or the thing you are persuaded of, enters your life and manifests in your life. I've said it many times before. If a kid has got a superhero that he believes in, you find the superhero starts to live in him. He starts to dress like Superman. He starts to jump off things. And what the father and the mother does is they lock up the ladders because they don't want the kid to get onto the roof. Because if the kid gets onto the roof, he's going to die because he's going to jump down that roof thinking he's Superman. As a person believes, so easy. What you believe upon, what you trust upon, what your mind is at rest in, is what manifests inside you. And since the belief of Adam and Eve was tampered with, when it was tampered with and they couldn't trust God, God couldn't live and manifest in their lives, and they started to trust in themselves, and since they're only made of dust, and dust doesn't have eternal life in it, you find what they believe in start to manifest in their life. They start to believe in the voice of the devil, the logic of Satan. And as their logic became a works-based logic, you would find that death is inside them and manifests in them. I've seen this with Elena and I. I didn't eat sushi. And I mean, I've known her for many years. I've loved her. And, you know, when she would say to me, something is nice, you can eat it, then, you know, I would normally eat that. But she came to me and said to me, yeah, my sushi is so nice and everything. And then one day I went and I ate some sushi. This is the way it took place. I ate some sushi. And when I ate it the first time, I almost vomited. I felt, this is not nice. And after that, Elena started to eat sushi. And as she started to eat this, she really likes it. And she went with one of her friends here, and they ate the sushi, and it was nice for her and everything. And she came to me, and she always said, oh, this is so good. Oh, this is so good. Just taste this. And what if someone else told me to do that, I would still, until today, not have been eating sushi. But because of our relationship and who she is, and I always know that, you know, let me put it this way, my belief in her formed who she is in me, even to the point that who she is forms what I like, shapes my taste for things. And so we started to, I started to eat sushi, and now on a Tuesday, they've got a special here in town where you get double what you normally would buy. It's like a 50% discount on certain dishes there. And then we would love to go and buy that and eat that together. So my belief in her caused who she is to actually come and indwell and live in me. So in conclusion, I want to say this. When we hear a message that God is not a God of integrity, which we hear today many times, God, things like God tests you, God will tempt you, God will put you through hard times to purify you, God will do all these kind of things. When we hear that, we will find that our heart cannot trust God. And as our heart cannot trust God, we will try and find life by our own works and so destroy our own lives. The salvation plan would then revolve around how to restore trust in God and how God would then bring forth eternal life to people. So I want you just to take this home. Faith is very, very important, or belief, trust in God is absolutely important. And to see God as a God of integrity is absolutely important. And if God says, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die, I want to tell you, just believe that. That is how it is. And be at a place where you say, God, convince my heart. Speak to my heart. I want to know. I want to see you as a God of absolute integrity. Because if I cannot see your integrity portrayed in front of me, then I will be tempted to go to something where I will find life in my own works and destroy myself. And I don't want that. You know, so ask God to show you continually His integrity. And whenever you hear something about God that's not portraying integrity, veracity, or equity of character, veer away from that. Veer away from it. Absolutely veer away from it. And as you, because that gets you to a place where you can be open to other things that can destroy your life. So I want you to know that if we take all the sessions together, this is what we can conclude, that God made us to share His life with us. The earth came to destruction through a wrong belief, a wrong logic, that God made us not as intrinsic immortal beings, but He made us as images of Him, which needs life from Him. And that life, we've got access to that life through a persuaded heart of His integrity. And through that, He actually indwells us. So we need to understand that faith is very, very important. But God also provides faith. And we're going to talk about that in our next session. So if you've got any questions about this, please send it to the email address of our discipleship program. And I would gladly answer that. I want to thank you so much for watching this. And then I will see you guys on Wednesday. God bless you.